just one game remaining in the regular season for Creighton. It is home against Butler on Saturday. Butler has been off since they beat Villanova on Sunday. Creighton back home after the game last night in Philadelphia as we welcome in Brody Derin, who joins us here on the Gary Sharp Show. How will you remember last night's game? Not the final score, but just the everything that went into last night between the two top teams in the league. You had Max comments before the game. You had the injury to Gillespie. You had a 17-0 run. Just so many different emotions and feelings and everything else tied into last night's game. How will you remember last night?
You know, I guess the feeling, a lot of memories to that game, but it's almost just being happy that it's over. You know, just such an emotional week going into it for that group, and then, you know, needing to get something off their chest and just, you know, some reprieve just being on the floor. And obviously, I think you saw a mentally tired group of guys in the first half, and that certainly contributed to the first half result. You know, their lowest point output in the half this season. You know, built the biggest deficit they've had all season. All of those things. But you know, there was a little bit of a turn the page, and some of the spark came from the second group, which was good to see. Sharif Mitchell played his tail off, and you know, the resolve and the stick-to-itiveness and the willing to fight obviously reflected itself in the second half. So, you know, at the end of it, I kind of just felt like you obviously wish that, you know, considering the circumstances, that you weren't playing a game, the subsequent game being one that has the conference championship on the line. But it did, and you know, that box is checked, and it's time to move forward. You know, just ripping that Band-Aid off in terms of the next game.
So, go
ahead.
No, you know, I think we could kind of see the first half coming, and you know, there was not only the distractions and guys just mentally being taxed before that game. You have a team that they're coming off a loss. They also got beat handily by you the last time they played. They're trying to win a Big East regular season title on their home floor, and they get going downhill. And it almost was like, okay, you could kind of see this coming. When did you sense the change in the second half that is something that you have? The season isn't over. You continue to play, that you can grasp and carry it to Saturday. When did you sense that things changed, where you were down 20-plus, it wasn't going well, and then the next thing you know, it's a coupled possession game late?
It was one of those deals where, you know, any run like that really starts on the defensive end. They finally started getting a couple of stops. They strung a couple together. And, you know, Mitch Ballack was kind of the bookends of that run. That, you know, cut it from a 22-point lead down to a 5-point lead, that, you know, 17-point deficit swing. And, you know, Mitch hits a shot. He loosens things up. Sharif Mitchell throws in a three, throws in a reverse layup. But it was just stringing a few stops together on the defensive end, which built confidence in a team on both ends, because the game was lost in the first half defensively. I mean, there's certainly a low point output for the Jays in the first half, no doubt about it. There was a bunch of weak turnovers in the first half, no doubt about it. But I felt like they still managed to get good shots that didn't fall. And, you know, but Villanova scored at will for a long time, and until about that 14-minute mark, 13 and a half minutes to go, when the Jays finally went on that run. So, you know, I just thought that's what it was. You saw the cohesiveness come back together, a little spark from you guys to say, hey, you know, that was a good defensive possession, and they strung two or three of them together in a row, and then it was five, six, or seven in a row. That's when the switch flipped.
You mentioned Sharif, and I agree with you. And I like the rotations in the second half, and they shortened the bench a little bit, looking for the right chemistry, any spark. And they found a five, a six, and a seven that were a nice little spark. What did you see in Reef last night that everybody looks at him and goes, well, man, he's great defensively. Well, I think he'd like to also say, hey, I can score, but his energy and the way he played last night, what in particular did you like about him that you think is something that can carry over for the rest of this year, but more importantly, next year when his role probably gets a little bit larger?
Yeah, right. Offensively, I thought he was more aggressive. Obviously, he knocked down the three. He ended, attempted four threes, which was the most he had attempted in a game this year. Knocked down two of them. Didn't touch the rim on those two. I mean, overall, that looked good. But more importantly, I thought he did a nice job finding ways to get into the teeth of the defense. When Nola was playing a bit of a matchup zone and sort of, completely different defensive scheme than we saw when they played in Omaha.
Yep.
And they were helping off a lot more significantly into the driving lane and off of the perimeter, just clogging everything up in the lane. And despite that, I thought Sharif did a nice job sort of chopping that up and getting into the teeth of the defense and making some plays. Marcus Zagorowski seemed to struggle with that a bit more last night than normal. We also saw it, Christian Bishop in that first game. I mean, that was a huge swing between the game that was played in Omaha versus this game in Philly. Just the way that Villanova played that defensively, just mucked things up in the paint. And, Christian struggled. He just didn't have it last night. It was evident. He had three turnovers in the first half. All of them really at the top of the key, tried to put the ball on the floor. And then, Nova just dove down hard and stole the ball from him. So, anyhow, going back to Sharif, I just thought his overall aggressiveness and willingness to put his head down and get into the defense to make plays was a big spark.
Another part of last night and the tone for that game is Colin Gillespie goes down with a serious left knee injury, and especially the way it happened, his reaction, and then the tone after the game of Jay Wright. But Villanova wins the regular season. I mean, their season's not over. They got to go play in the NCAA tournament. They, of course, have enough talent, but he's a little bit of their heart and soul. What is it? I think we talked about this after the game here in Omaha, which Creighton won by double figures. What is it about this Villanova team that I just can't? I don't love them. I think they're even with Gillespie, I think they're knocked out in the second round. What is it about this Villanova team that you think is still missing that we're so used to Jay Wright's teams having?
Yeah, it's been confusing to me on the defensive end, generally speaking, that just the level of discipline that they have demonstrated traditionally. Has been reflected this year on the offensive end of the floor for them, but not as much on the defensive end. I mean, they're never a Virginia when it comes down to being a team defined by defense, but they're generally better, much better than they have been this year. So, that's the Achilles heel, right, with this team. Why I just don't love them because offensively they've got a lot of weapons. Obviously, with Gillespie, they're better as the floor general, no doubt about it. But with Jeremiah Robinson Earl, his ability he's just so versatile. He can do so many different things on the floor. Justin Moore, he did it last night. He's one of those guys that can get you 30 on any given night. Those two guys are probably the most explosive, in my opinion. And then you've got a bunch of, role players that can go and get you 20 on a given night, like with Jermaine Daniels. So, but coming back to the question, I do think that to me, it's just the level of discipline that they've had on the defensive end this year has been lacking relative to years past.
The season wraps up, the regular season wraps up on Saturday. Butler is here. Butler beat Villanova on Sunday in Indianapolis, and it wasn't as close as a 12-point victory. But Butler's been a weird team this year because you don't know who's going to play for them, whether they're out with injury or they're out with COVID. They played that game with 8 scholarship players. Aaron Thompson, who's been a thorn in the side of Creighton, especially when you play at the Hinkle Fieldhouse, didn't play. Their freshman, Chuck Harris, looked really good. They may just show up with 8 scholarship guys. What do you think that game and maybe what the next 10 days, which will include a trip to New York City in the Big East tournament. What do you think it'll look like, Brody, for Creighton?
Frankly, I think it's really hard to predict. I think predicting that the results are all predicated on ultimately what's happening in that locker room right now, or what happens in the locker room in the next 10 days. I think if we removed the distractions and what's happening sort of off the floor right now, I mean, I would be very, very bullish on Creighton coming in and performing well on Saturday, just last game of the home season, coming off a loss against Nova, having lost at Hinkle. Like, all of those things would stack in Creighton's favor. But I really think it's so hard to predict, because I have no idea how people in that group is going to respond from here forward. And the second half, hopefully the second half is kind of an indicator of where this group is going to head and sort of have checked that box and, mm-hmm. and moving forward. But I do believe, well, first of all, as Coach McDermott has acknowledged, there is repair, there's healing, there's a lot of work to be done. And this is probably the start of the conversation and certainly not the finish of it. Even if the actions by the university, perhaps, we don't know exactly mm-hmm. what happens for the remainder of this season or after the season. But let's just say for a minute that that's been decided. The family, the group decided what it's going to do in terms of response there. The healing still has to happen. I mean, we're in this situation where trust has been lost. We know that trust can be lost in seconds, even though it's built over years. And so that's the foundation of any group performing at its peak. And so that's what makes it so difficult to predict what product comes out on the floor on Saturday.
Is it easier said for players, hey, let's play for ourselves. We've put in the work to get to this point. We're not going to let something derail our season. We're going to stick together as players and play for ourselves. Is that too easy to say?
I believe so, because I think different views probably embedded in the locker room of the circumstances, and you've got to respect that. That's probably easy to say if the university had elected to terminate Mac, or if it's kind of us versus the world, us versus them type of thing. I don't view this as that. I view it as those kids, appropriately, in my opinion, have been empowered to influence the actions of the department and the university, and they elected to have Greg McDermott continue to be their coach for last night's game and moving forward. Assuming that's true, I think the healing and repair of us together still has to be the sort of essence of things. So I almost think that makes it a little bit more difficult, because it makes it difficult. It's a different feeling than mm-hmm. us against the world, just do it for us mm-hmm. type of thing, because it's still us with, the father figure, the coach, the head coach, who's now like being, that healing still has to happen together.
Brody, I appreciate the insight and the conversation, and we'll see what the next 10 days and further into the NCAA tournament bring. But thanks for your time.
All right, Gary. Talk to you next week.
That's Brody Darren. I was with John last night on the broadcast of Villanova and Creighton. Late afternoon tip on Saturday at the Chai for Creighton and Butler to wrap up the regular season. Creighton will be the number 2 seed as it looks right now. They'll play the winner of Marquette and Georgetown. Who Georgetown is playing pretty well right now. Marquette, both of those teams have to make a run. The Big East is not doing themselves any favors. Seton Hall is slipping. As UConn might be the favorite. Bocknight is back and they're 4-1 with him. But while he was away, it allowed them to develop different roles for key players, that instead of standing around and watching a guy go for 40 every night, they had to pick up their game. And he comes back, and UConn is hitting stride. I would think with Gillespie's injury and the, even the talent that's left over on the Villanova roster, UConn would be the favorite in New York City. Basketball tonight, Iowa and Nebraska. Huskers are a significant underdog, a 16-point underdog. But look at the stock of Fred Hoiberg, how it has gone up in the last month. Still, they got some things to work on, and tonight will be the biggest test outside of Illinois in this run where Nebraska has played much better basketball. And the feel-good of Saturday night against Minnesota and then Monday against Rutgers, you understand that in the Big Ten, it's a beast, and you have to adjust on a nightly basis, and it does not allow you to be inconsistent. So, but the one thing about Fred that we've all gotten to know in 2 years that he's been the head coach is he's going to tell you exactly how his team is, where they're going, what they have to do to get there. Not going to say, hey, we really, really had a good week of preparation. He won't tell you that. But what he keeps saying is you're going to get rewarded for hard work. It's finally going to pay off. And it has paid off the last couple of games. And during a good stretch here of about 2.5 weeks where Nebraska has been competitive, when it would have been easy to say, adios, amigos, I'm out. We're not going to do this anymore. We'll wait until next year. And then you get your teeth kicked in. But they've come with energy. They're playing with smiles on their face. They're having fun. And Fred is absolutely right. Nebraska could play good tonight and still get beat by 20 at Carver-Hawkeye. But you got to pick your poison. Nebraska last year, remember, Nebraska beat Iowa last year. Do you say, Garza, you're not getting your points, and then roll the dice and see if Wieskamp and Frederick and Bohannon can hit threes? Or do you try and lock down Garza, you know, or the lock down the three-point shooters and say, Garza, go for 35 tonight, but we're not going to let the other guys score 50 combined. I think Iowa will go downhill on Nebraska. I don't know that Nebraska can score into the upper 80s on this Iowa team, especially Iowa that only gave up 57 on 66 trips to Ohio State. It's going to be a challenge tonight. But this is the kind of team right now. They're playing loose. The longer they're hanging around in the game, you never know. They're actually shooting the ball a little bit better. And when you've listened to your coach, this is the set we're running. We run this play. I'm telling you, you're going to get a good look. And when they start to fall, what happens to the confidence? You've seen that. Also, I think you'll get a good sense tonight on how this game unfolds, on what Fred does with his rotations. Because guys that bring energy, that stay on the floor, I mean, you got two seniors who hadn't seen a lot of minutes, and all of a sudden during this run, they're playing consistently, and they're setting up other guys. And as a result, Nebraska has, they got this nice little feel going. But I could see tonight getting one-sided because that's an Iowa team that still has their sights set on somebody having a hiccup and getting a number one seed. But defensively, I think Iowa's too good for Nebraska. That's at 8 tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow as Nebraska plays their 12th game in 27 days. And isn't it nice that the guy that's running the show in Lincoln hasn't complained about it? I think maybe he said it's unique, but he hasn't complained about it. And instead, he's embraced it. And I think his team has said, oh, man, if the coach is all in for this, I can't be going, oh, my legs are tired. My legs, my back. We're back with more of the Gary Sharp Show after this.